Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Global Change Agents with me, Leanna Brinded, the Digest Edition, a podcast brought to you by Yahoo Finance UK. You can watch a full version of this interview by heading over to yahoo.co.uk/changeagents.
Joining me today is Dr. Amaree Imafadhan. A child maths prodigy, Amaree is now the founder of STEMETS, an initiative dedicated to getting more young women into science, tech, engineering and maths. Amaree, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on board. So, I want to go right back to the beginning because not only did you pass two of your GCSE exams when you were in primary school, you also were the youngest girl to pass A-level computing at just 11. And then on top of that, you have a very long career of breaking barriers for women in STEM. But at the beginning, what drove you at such a young age to achieve so much? And were you a nightmare to teach?
Yeah, I was a nightmare to teach, actually. What drove me was the creativity, actually, that I found in maths and in technology, and the fact that, you know, these things are incredibly logical. Like, they adhere to these rules. 2 + 2 = 4 for the first person that figured that out, and it's still 4, you know, for anyone that's being born today. And so there's something about, there's an ultimate truth in them, right? And so being able to use that logic and combine that with my creative outlet was something that really drove me and still inspires me to this day, actually, to be technical and to make things using technology.
And so when you are that young, though, how did you find in terms of support or nurturing for as a woman to get into that? Because usually there's a lot of chat now these days that, you know, girls are not encouraged as much to get into STEM subjects.
So I was really fortunate, actually, that in my house, so I'm the eldest of 5, and we were all girls until the boy came along at the end. And so there was nothing that was for the boys or for the girls. It was, if you're going to do something, do it well. And so we were nurtured to do well at whatever it might be. And for me, it happened to be maths and the technology. And so, you know, a lot of things that I hear now, whether it's, you know, via the work we do with STEMETS or, you know, on things like everyday sexism, you know, those attitudes do still exist. But growing up, you know, this was Amaree's thing. That was the thing that I was good at. And it wasn't even that this was girl Amaree's thing. This was Amaree's thing. So it was me and the technology, me and the maths. And so there was never really any room for anyone to say that's not for girls, because it was all I knew, it was what I was good at, and so that was it, was Amaree's thing. And so, you know, whether I blocked it out, whether my environment was really supportive, it was something that I, again, didn't actually notice until a couple of years into my industry, that I was a woman in tech and that was even a thing or something to be marvelled at, or that I was even in that minority. So I had really, really positive formative experiences, actually.
So when you finished your degree, obviously having a STEM subject, especially maths and computer science, opens a world of loads of different jobs and industries. What made you go into working with Goldman Sachs, Hewlett-Packard, Deutsche Bank? What was the decision-making process for you in that sense?
So actually, it started a couple of years before. So when I was 13, at school, we did one of these kind of careers surveys. So it asks you, do you want to work outside? No. Do you want to work with numbers? Yes. Kind of a series of questions. And that actually suggested at 13 that I should either be a management consultant or a systems analyst. And at that point, I didn't know what a management consultant was. And really helpfully, it had a kind of, here's what they earn. And I was like, tick. but also 13-year-old me thought I could be a management consultant for Sainsbury's. And that would mean that maybe I get 3 groceries, which means that salary, I can spend it on other things and still get my groceries. So that was at 13. 3 years later, I actually ended up doing an internship at Deutsche Bank, which is where I ended up working as a graduate, and realising that I was being paid, which at that point, no one had ever paid me that amount of money, even as a 16-year-old. But B, I was being paid to do technology, just something I would do for free. So I was like, okay, I could do this at a bank. Maybe I could be a management consultant for banks in technology. And then by 19, which is when I was kind of looking at what comes next, it was like, actually, maybe I could just work in technology in the bank and see where it goes from there, and I can pay for my own groceries.
So can you talk about some of the initiatives within STEMETS and actually some of the projects within it as well? Because it would be great to get more for the audience to get to know what you guys do.
Sure. So we work with girls aged from 5 up to 25. And what we do is it's a series of cohorts, events and content. So that's kind of how we split our initiatives and the programmes that we do. So an example of the cohort one is we run a mentoring programme, a more than mentoring programme, actually. It's more sponsorship for girls aged 15 and above who have made STEM decisions or are open to making STEM decisions, and we match them with a woman in industry who is their sponsor mentor for 4 months. And what that means is they work with them towards a tangible goal. So whether that's applying for roles, applying for internships, going for awards, looking for bursaries, those kinds of things. So they work with them rather intensively. They have work experience as part of that. And they also get to apply for, to attend the Grace Hopper Celebration of Women in Computing in the States every year, which is all expenses paid trip for them to be at the largest gathering of women technologists in the world. So that's one of our programs. We also run something called Outbox Incubator, which again is for girls aged 11 and above. And what we do is it's a bit like Y Combinator, but for teenage girls. They live under one roof for a period of time, and we have different entrepreneurs, different technical people coming in to mentor them on ideas that they might have, and we actually give them funding to make those ideas a reality. But, you know, more regularly, we run panel events, we run hackathons, we run kind of weekend events where girls get to come together and build and create. The one thing to remember across everything we do is it's always free for the girls to attend. It's always fun, and we put at the centre of what it is, whether it's Ariana Grande or whoever it is kind of blasting and pumping, and there's always food because everybody loves free food.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would you say is one of the, you know, I suppose number one piece of advice or avenue to maybe get those who are not as confident or as not as, I suppose, as initially talented in things like STEM? Because, for instance, when it comes to science and maths, one of the biggest things of getting more women into it is a lot of people will be like, oh, I could never code, it's too complicated, I don't understand maths, I was rubbish at it at school. Whereas it's like sometimes it always feels a bit too late if you're not as talented or gifted earlier on.
So it's funny, I've got a new podcast series out now actually that kind of talks to a lot of different women called Women Tech Charge, and we look at their journeys and actually the fact that it's not just one avenue in. And even if you weren't great at maths or science, or I always say it's you didn't have the right teacher for maths or science at school, it's one of those things where everyone has an interest or everyone knows problems that can be solved. And actually we use that altruism and that creativity as our way of attracting girls and allowing them to see that even if maths lessons aren't great or science lessons aren't great, they can make this app that helps that person in a flood situation, or they can create this chatbot that helps them coach themselves through that conversation they have to have with their mum when they get a bad score on a test, which is a real project a couple of the girls really did. So we allow them to see that actually it's not about the technology or the maths or even the technical knowledge being first. It's about them having an interest, having a problem they want to solve, and then saying, can we apply technology to this problem? Is that going to be able to solve things? And how can I do that? And that makes it a lot easier. Then it's not about you and the skills you already have. It's about the problem that you're trying to solve, something you're interested in, and having a growth mindset about that. And understanding that, you know, it's not maths A level that we're using to code, but there's some of those principles that you might be able to access in a different space with Ariana Grande playing in the background or Beyonce.
So you appeared in the video with the British rapper Dave, and the song's called Black. How did that come about, and what was the reception with the song? I mean, it's quite a fantastic extra string to your bow that you have.
Yes, I'm now a video girl. It was really funny. It was really random, actually. A note dropped into our inbox one week might have been on the Tuesday, and they kind of said, yeah, like, Dave would love you to be in his new video. They didn't really say what the song was, so I was a bit apprehensive as to kind of, how is this going to pan out? What do I need to wear? Kind of, what am I promoting? And so, you know, are you available next week? It's all been shot really quickly. And so I think we filmed on the Monday, and the video was out on the Thursday.
Wow.
And it was incredible, because it's Dave. He's so well known. He's at the top of his game at the moment. I think the album's gone number one as well. And this was the precursor to him releasing the kind of surprise album. But it was fantastic. It was really nice. I'm in the video with Tiffany Calver and Dina Asher Smith. So one is the radio DJ and the other is the top class athlete. And there's me, technologist, alongside them. But it was really nice because, you know, the video and the music, the track itself is talking a lot about themes of racism and kind of women of colour and black women even specifically. And that's our kind of piece that we have in the video. But it's fantastic to be appreciated as part of the culture, which I think was the reason why I was like, yeah, yes, absolutely. You know, they didn't promise to do makeup like you guys have done today.
Wow.
But it was fantastic to see that it's something it's being recognised, and it's part of what black women do, but also part of what women do. And it's part of culture that's even, you know, being in this kind of number one music track. So, you know, really, you know, thankful to Dave for having me. And the press releases all said, you know, people that inspire him, which is kind of cool. But I think it's something that I want to see a lot more of, not me necessarily music videos, but, you know, music is something that's almost like a litmus for what's happening and what's going on in the culture. And technology is such a big part of that, you know, we should be part of these lyrics, we should be part of those visuals. And it takes it out to an audience who might not have been looking for that kind of thing.
And how do you stay true to your authentic self when you have to, in a way, you know, battle against all the, I suppose, systemic privileges that are out there and old school institutions and understanding of things like women in tech and things like that? How do you stay as your authentic self throughout the whole process?
I think spending so much time with the girls makes it really, really easy. I think, you know, if you're sat with them, you hear their fears, you hear their concerns, you see what they're going through, you hear the things that are being said to them. And so, you know, I might be in a fancy studio, I might be flying halfway across the world. Remembering those girls, remembering those stories is something that helps me stay grounded and remember, you know, this is what it's all for, this is why we're doing it. And even more so when we see some of the terrible things that are happening across the tech industry at the moment, you know, I have hope. It gives me hope, actually, sitting with the girls to keep it real and be like, actually, I don't need to be parroting the same things that other people are doing, the institutions are doing. It's my duty to, you know, lay the path, set the way for these girls and be that change agent and be that person that comes and kind of pokes holes in what's happening and is a bit different. And so it's almost my superpower. It's my benefit, it's my privilege, right? To come from a different perspective and be able to put that into those situations. So, yeah, I see it's part of my job to stay grounded. Keep it real, keep it 100.
And we've got one last question. It's gone so quickly, so I need to get this in. But you yourself are an inspirational person and you've done incredible things. And lots of people look up to you being like, oh, wow, how can I be like you? But have you had a moment where you've met someone recently or there's been a hero of yours that you felt completely humbled by or have just, I don't know, pinch yourself going, oh my God, I've met them?
Loads of those moments. I think it's so funny. Like, I am this young black girl from East London. Like, there's only so much really that happens in East London, I guess, before Silicon Valley happened, before Silicon Roundabout even showed up. So there's lots of people that I get to meet that you've either seen in movies or seen on film. Like, the whole Dave thing was incredibly surreal. Even just being stood there at the concert and seeing my face, like, the size of two of my flats on a screen was incredible. But I think my top moment ever was, so Stephanie Shirley is one of my role models. And if you don't know who she is, look her up. It's incredible. I'm sure you'll have her actually on
the show. She's also on the show.
There
as
you
well.
Go. So watch that episode because she's incredible. But I remember, so I now know her. I read that we know each other, recognise and kind of see each other every now and then at events. And it's crazy. The first time I realised she actually knew who I was, we were at a luncheon, as you do. That's how we, the bourgeoisie, do luncheons. And I was like, I don't know why I'm even at this lunch. And remember that she was there and headed over, was talking to someone else, and she came over to come and say hello to me and gave me a hug. And I was like, as if the Stephanie Shirley has come to me, ran to me to come and say hello. Like, as if that's happened. I remember for the next year, I think that was the only thing I said in interviews was, she came and she hugged me. So I think it's things like that that happen when you do... Or Mae Jameson. I sat down with Mae Jameson, actually, at a conference a couple of years ago, and it was kind of crazy to be like, we're just chilling, having coffee in the same place. So there's... And Mae Jameson, of course, first black woman in space. So I think there's lots of people that I get to meet, and they're all pinch-yourself moments. The funniest one was... being sat, so London Tech Week is something that happens every year, and I've been involved from the beginning, and being sat at the launch round table for London Tech Week, and there were 20 of us at the table, and I was kind of sat opposite Tim Berners-Lee and next to Jimmy Wales.
Wow.
In a room of 20 people, and it was kind of, that was another insane moment, as if I'm sat here with these people. Like, it's crazy enough that they're alive at the same time as me, but to be having breakfast with them and being able to talk when they're talking on the same level was kind of insane. So, yeah, there's been lots of those kinds of moments. Yeah.
Oh, what a lovely note to end on.
Thanks for listening to Global Change Agents with me, Leanna Brinded, produced by Yahoo Finance UK. A full version of this interview can be found at yahoo.co.uk/changeagents. And for more information, go to uk.finance.yahoo.com.